Hi, this is Irene Barber coming to you live from Durham, Maine, and I am co-hosting this show called The Aha Moment for Becoming a Horticultural Therapist. And my co-host and special guest today with me is...
Hi guys, it's Erin Backus here. I am coming to you from Milford, Connecticut currently.
Okay, and in Milford, Connecticut, are you actually doing some horticultural therapy currently in your career, or where are you at right now, and how have you used horticultural therapy in the past if you're not doing it right now?
Oh, good question. No, I'm currently not practicing HT, but I am doing a lot of volunteer work for the field, meaning that I'm the president of the Northeast Network. I'm also on the national board, so I spend a lot of volunteer hours helping the profession that way. For years, I worked at Brewster, New York, for Green Chimneys with kids with autism and emotion disorders and learning disorders. And then I went to work at Silver Hill Hospital in New Canaan for a couple years, working with patients with mental disorders. But now I'm kind of taking a break from all that and getting back into kind of plant mode and plant field and doing some volunteer work anyway, for the field.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Well, you're doing a lot for the Northeast Horticultural Therapy Network as our president. And now as part of the board of the AHTA. So you've got a lot of work in the horticultural therapy sector already.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm getting all my volunteer work in all in one big all in one big time.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your path. And first off, maybe that moment that you decided that horticultural therapy was something that was alluring to you.
So, I'm kind of like you. We have a background in horticulture mainly, and then we got into the horticultural therapy field after that. So I was doing my undergraduate degree at SUNY Cobleskill, which is the State College of New York Cobleskill. And I was doing my internship at Longwood Gardens. So I've always been a nature person. Went to do naturalists for a little bit. Wasn't me. Was a zoology major for a little bit, but I couldn't dissect animals anymore. So I went to the opposite side of the science field, and started working with plants, and I just absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. But horticultural therapy hit me. So like my aha moment, I guess you'd say, was when I was doing my internship, for my undergraduate degree, and I was working in the garden and at Longwood, and a good friend of mine, basically my high school sweetheart, got into a severe car accident, his drunk driving car accident, and now he's a person with TBI.
Mm.
So during that time, I would work in the garden, and then during the week, and then the weekends, I would drive to the rehab center he was at. It's very stressful, even for an outsider. I mean, I couldn't imagine what he was going through as mm-hmm. the patient, as a person, but as the family member or as a caring, loved one, it's very emotional, and it was a mm-hmm. And it was definitely a turning point for me, because in the garden, I was like, I was relieved. I was feeling better. I was more relaxed.
It was a retreat space for you, somewhere where you...
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I wished I could give that feeling to others, because it helped me so much. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, I looked it up, horticulture and therapy, and then I found out that the field actually exists.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the crap? This is what I want to do. But how do I get into it? That was back when they were still doing the point systems, and it was very hard to gain points, and it's very confusing from from what I tried to do. And so I was like, okay, well, I know I want to be in the field. And this was 2005 this happened. So I'm like, okay, well, let me just work in the horticulture field, get some money, because I obviously want to do this, but it's kind of confusing right now. Let me earn some money.
Right.
And then in 2008, when they actually came up with the HTR process, I'm like, bam, go. Mm-hmm. Left my, like, prestigious job in Florida working for a private botanic garden down there and moved back in with my parents and put myself through school. And I was traveling back and forth to Colorado because I did my horticulture therapy at with HTI. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. And did you do the HTI in a consolidated amount of time, or did you do it kind of throughout a course of 2 years? How long did you take taking your hort therapy classes?
I did it in, I think the process takes 2 years. Well, at that time it did, because I don't think they had as many or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I started in fall of 08 and I finished in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. With their courses. And then I had a few more courses to get through the SUNY systems and like online for my human service side of it.
Right.
And then I applied for my HTR and I got my HTR in 2012.
Mm-hmm. And so when you were at Seven Chimneys, can you tell us a little, Green Chimneys, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into that specific, you know, setting of practicing horticultural therapy?
I think, honestly, the only reason I went and tried this, so I did a lot of shadowing. I shadowed a bunch of HTs in the field just to see if I wanted to, like, be in that, you know, working with that population.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember why I chose Green Chimneys, maybe because it had an internship available and housing, to be frank.
Yeah, that's convenient. Yeah.
And it was a, you know, a small stipend. So that's how, I ended up there. And I worked with kids in the school districts because while I was going to school for HT stuff, I was also substitute teaching and working in the school district. So I've been, you know, I've worked with kids in the past. I was always a lifeguard and teaching kids in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It just clicked. It was well, you know.
It was a good fit. You were saying it's a good fit? It was a good fit that time?
It definitely was a good fit. Yeah. I enjoyed working with that population. The kids are great.
And what other populations have you worked with? Who else have you worked with as far as demographic?
And then Silver Hill, it was ages from 13 to 99, but it was people with substance use disorders and mental illnesses. And it was either in an acute care setting or it was a transitional living unit. So, mm-hmm. And I really worked with the population very closely, patients with schizophrenia and different persistent mental disorders, mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really enjoyed that population, actually.
Mm-hmm. So they're pretty, you know, different in and of themselves, those populations. So how did you adapt your skill set as a horticultural therapist in those, you know, from a young population to this older, more mature, but yet still very vulnerable population? How were you able, were you connecting more of the similarities versus the differences? How did you feel as a practitioner going through that learning curve?
Oh, I mean, you definitely, it was a lot. I had to, like, basically break down my whole thought process and programming, and then just focus and then start really, like, I knew about those populations from my schooling, but you really had to research them a lot to figure out what they're going through, medications they might be on.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to research them first,
right.
And then I had to figure out what horticultural activities I could plug in,
mm-hmm.
And or what ones would be able to be used for even that site. Right. Because I went from working at a farm, basically, with a garden access, and these kids, I did vocational work at like Green Chimneys, and I had a farm access to them, and I had them for like 2 hours sometimes, and then I had them for like two to three year spans. Like, I had the same kids, I knew them all the time. Mm-hmm. To the fact that I had to maybe only see this and like get this one person once. I had to grab their attention once or twice. Wow. Because they would rotate out of the ACU, mm-hmm. or, you know. So I had to really, and then they were only 45-minute sessions.
Right.
So I really had to rethink my whole approach when mm-hmm. I went from Green Chimneys to Silver Hill. So mm-hmm.
even the goal structure had to be adjusted, you know, what your expectations were as a Hort therapist in creating goals for individuals.
Totally. The teams I worked with was different. So at Green Chimneys, I worked with the vocational counselor very closely and the farmer.
Right.
When I was at, and like, when I was at Silver Hill, I worked very closely with residential counselors and social workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So total difference of treatment team, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But.
And in today, where you're at now, working again back in more closely with plants rather than a specific group of individuals, you're in a retail setting. Do you find the simple pleasures of working with customers to, you know, give them a little bit of that Hort therapy and just selling a plant?
So when I was in college, my undergrad, I did try my best at, like, you know, doing retail, because most people that went for my degree went into retail.
Right.
Garden centers. Very little people go into working in botanic gardens from, my degree that I got in my school. But I tried my best at retail back then, and I just hated it. I really did hate it. And now I can tolerate it. It's not my... I tolerate it, and I think I can deal with customers better because I take more of a therapeutic approach with them.
Yeah,
you know,
you probably have a little more forgiveness too, in the sense of the more challenging populations that you've worked with in the past, and these can be challenging populations too, but in a different context, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, yep. I just dealt with someone with borderline personality. Okay, no problem.
Oh dear.
I mean, it's good working, you know, getting, you know, taking some time and doing retail and getting to know those plants again, because sometimes as a horticulture therapist, well, I know I did at like Silver Hill, like you are confined sometimes to the plants you work with, because you can't work with poisonous plants. You can't, you know, you have to work with plants that are, well, for my programs, I worked with plants that are, you know, a lot of the herbs or growing basil and coleus propagation and jade propagation. You know, like, I was working it because those are the plants that worked, that I found were best and were not poisonous and people liked. So I was finding myself working with the same plants because they, mm-hmm. and so it's nice to actually get back into, mm-hmm. like being around just plants for, mm-hmm. for my own therapy.
Right.
I guess I was needing the time. Right. I need the time for myself.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
I'm getting burned out.
Yeah. And that's the case for many therapists and whatever, you know, practice or specialty that they're focusing on, is that they have to remember to take care of themselves as well. And so even in the horticultural therapy, you know, many people would say, oh, you're working with plants, that must be so wonderful as a therapist, but your main goal is to be attentive to the needs of the others and not yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And I preach that all the time to my students, and like, I emphasize so much about caring for yourself, because, hey, I've been through it. I've I've gotten burnt out before, you know, like.
So you said you just mentioned your students. Can you tell us who are your students? I don't think you mentioned that earlier.
Well, I mean, I did teach for a couple of years at the HT certificate program for NYBG.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if for those of you who don't know what NYBG is, it's New York Botanical Gardens. They do have a certificate program in horticultural therapy that's approved through the AHTA, American Horticultural Therapy Association. Erin, I have one kind of, you know, major final question, and that is where you are now and where you thought you would want to be by a certain point, or did you ever put an expectation? I guess in the sense of when you became or you went through the horticultural therapy venture, was there something that really drove you and motivated you with a specific dream that you were seeking towards, that you were aspiring towards? Or is that a huge question that you still are figuring out? Because I think that can be certainly the case.
Good question. You throw me off guard. I get it. I mean, I guess if I had thought about like my ideal thing with horticultural therapy and when I first started in the field and where I wanted to be, my thought of what I wanted to do changed a lot based on my actually like working with certain populations. I'm like, oh, that's really not for me. I can't, you know.
Right.
But I really would like to have my own space that I could practice in. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be able to practice and get a license and do it just myself. So that's why I'm very much an advocate for HT getting their credentialing, and that's why I'm on the committee, and I, you know, have probably done a lot of work and help towards that because I feel so passionate about it, and that's where I want to be.
Right.
But like, maybe my own garden space, my own garden where, like, people would come to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would be, and I would really, really like to combine my CRC, so I'm also a certified rehab counselor, and helping someone increase their quality of life through their culture. And so, but what my ideal place would be having my own little garden space that I could do that, practicing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Am I even close to being there? Maybe, but maybe not. but it's a small process. And right now I'm kind of taking some time for myself and my family. So,
yeah. Well, good for you. I mean, you've achieved and you've gotten through so many, you know, avenues of horticultural therapy and getting your license for social service for rehabilitation services. I mean, that is a huge triumphant, you know, accomplishment. And so you should definitely be proud. I mean, I oftentimes feel like as a horticultural therapist that, you know, there are those ups and downs moments where I feel like, is this the direction I want to go in? Do I want, or is there another direction? And do I have to go back to school to accomplish another direction? And that's scary, but you have definitely achieved many, you know, going over many hurdles like that. So you should definitely be proud. And I'm very thrilled by you as my peer, as a role model. So thank you very much, Erin.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us for today's session, talking to Erin Backus in Connecticut. And we are excited to invite you to more episodes coming down the road on the aha moment of becoming a horticultural therapist. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.